Dear believer, is that a struggle that you have today? Unbeliever, is that something you're struggling with? The call of this world, its lusts, its temptations, its sins, has a greater bearing on your heart. You want it. You desire it. You desire the pleasures. You desire the wealth. You desire all that the world can give. And in your heart, that's worth far more than the Savior. Oh, you can get Christ later on in your mind. But right now, you want to enjoy the things of this world. And how sad that is. Demas forsook Christ for these things. It is a sorrowful thing to see those who once professed the faith err from it and forsake Christ.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Hello, and we give you a warm welcome today to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us today as we bring God's Word to you, found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and our sermon is entitled, A Warning to Lovers of Money. A warning to lovers of money. May the Lord bless His Word to your soul today.
We need to hear the word preached. We need to read the word of God. We need to seek the Lord to apply the truth to our hearts. We need to be discerning lest we be influenced by others who seek to turn an influence away from the truth of God. A few days ago, I received a message about a band from Northern Ireland, a Christian band, Wren Collective. I've maybe mentioned them before. They're due to be in BC in just a few months' time. They're due actually to be in Langley in April. And they are very popular amongst young people. It's a Christian group, and, well, tickets are $62, $160. Not that I was looking to buy tickets. I just had a little browse to see. And let's pause for a moment. A Christian band, and often we can turn around and we can think, they're Christians, and therefore, I'm a Christian. They're Christians, they're acceptable. It's not a rock band, it's not a band of this world. We're not going to see Taylor Swift or somebody like that. This is a Christian event. These are Christians. And therefore, there's an open door. But there should be a door of discernment. Discernment, why? Because the apostle tells us there are those who err. And we need to be discerning. And if you were to consider Wren Collective, they sang for the Pope back in Dublin in 2018, an ecumenical event, treating Catholicism as a legitimate branch of Christianity, ignoring the twisting and corrupting and the false gospel, recognizing the Pope singing at Mass, which the Reformers referred to as a blasphemous fable and a dangerous deceit. They're loose on LGBT issues. They've stated on Twitter they think it's sad that a person who follows that lifestyle wasn't allowed to lead worship. And one of their lead singers has made questionable comments about hell and has questioned the reality of hell. And when we consider just those issues that as a church we stand distinctly upon, there's a great danger then of that influence coming into the church, that influence against what is the truth of God. And that's one example that will be local in just a few months' time of needing to be discerning concerning those who err from the truth of God. Well, we can come across so acceptable, but yet we need to be discerning. The love of money causes individuals to err. And we need to then discern through the Word of God. Love for money causes errors that bring no fruit in your life. Errors that lead to hell and destruction. Errors that destroy the relationship between you and God. We have a duty to root out error, to hold fast to the Scriptures. Believing and holding to the truth of God is no trivial matter. It is an important thing. Secondly, I want you to see that the love of money causes forlorn sorrows. Forlorn sorrows. Notice verse 10. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Putting money before Christ, desiring this wealth, this greed for riches, causes sorrows. There's no peace. There's no joy through wealth. It may be temporary. You may enjoy the wealth, but it is temporary. One day these things will pass away, and this is where Christian contentment comes in. One day this world will pass away. We will be in eternity with Christ forever, and our focus as the people of God is not upon the things of this world that will rust and rot and corrupt, but our focus is upon heavenly matters, upon spiritual things, upon the Christ who died for us. And that focus brings us a peace. It brings us a satisfaction. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. Money cannot buy peace. And if you seek after money continually, there's no peace for your soul. Money cannot fix sorrows. Maybe it can fix the sorrow of an empty stomach or the sorrow of having no roof over your head. But there are many sorrows in life, and money cannot help. It cannot fix the sorrows we suffer. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, the verse 15, the Savior says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And then he speaks about the certain rich man. And what does this man say? Verse 18, "I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater." Verse 19, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And he's focusing here on the things of this world. He's focusing on enjoying himself. But there's sorrow to come. Because what do we find? God spoke to him, verse 20, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" His eternal security, the forgiveness of sins, the eternal state of his soul was not changed because of his riches. He had to rip down his barns and build greater. But his focus was upon himself. It was an earthly focus. It was a man-centered focus. He was not fixed upon the God of heaven. He was not saying, "Lord, I thank thee for this abundant provision. And now I have to pull down my barns and I have to build greater to store this. But I do it to the glory of God. God has given me all of these things." Like Job, God has given, God has taken. This man, it was all, "I did these things. I will do this. My soul will take ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And God said, "Thou fool, your focus isn't upon the things that matter. Tonight your soul is going into eternity, and what will be left behind? It's meaningless. There's no hope. There's no refuge. There is but sorrow for all eternity." And dear unbeliever, today when we think of the love of money, the love of sin, the love of money, however we want to express these things, it brings sorrow. It brings sorrow in life. A life that is not focused upon Christ. A life that has not lived to the glory of God. A life that is not resting upon Christ and his blessed presence. The sorrows that you face in life, and there's no Savior to guide you through. There's a great sorrow coming of eternity and judgment and hell. And your love of money or love of anything in this life cannot help. Only the love of Christ can. And your focus then needs to be not upon money. It needs to be upon the Savior. Your wealth, your fortune, what you can accomplish in life cannot go with you. Heaven is not like a hotel where you maybe pick the hotel based on your income. You'll have someone stay in a cheap motel. Someone might stay in a little better hotel. And then you have the rich billionaires, and they'll have the penthouse suite and so much space and room and luxury. Heaven is not like that. The entrance to heaven is based upon what you have done with Christ. Your love of money will take you far from him. Your love of sin will take you far from him. Love of Christ. It is the love of Christ that does not bring sorrow. Thirdly, the love of money causes fearful temptations. Fearful temptations. Turn back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Man's greed and lust for money leads him into snares and temptations. We see this in fiction. We see this in what the world produces. Money causes problems. Money causes temptations. We see this in reality as well. Money causes temptations. Our greed overrules our hearts. It takes us down a wicked path. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We think of Moses. Moses, the man of God. He refused in verse 24 to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And verse 25, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming, verse 26, the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He forsook Egypt for Christ. He forsook the riches of Egypt for the promise of the Savior to stand with the people of God. What did Moses do? He denied the flesh. All the riches of Egypt, he could live in luxury. He was the adopted son of the princess. He was not going to live in a low, humble little shack beside the river. He had his place in the palace. He had luxury and wealth and all that ancient Egypt had to offer, and he forsook it all. He forsook it all for the Lord. Self-denial. And dear believer, that is where we need to be. If Moses had said, well, I'm not leaving Egypt. I'm staying put. I want these riches. I want this food. I want all the blessings of this lifestyle. The temporal blessings of this lifestyle. The history of the people of God and the history of Moses would be very, very different. He took a stand. He took a stand. Those riches, that wealth would have hindered God's will for his life. Job and Abraham, they were rich men, blessed by God. But in the case of Moses, he had to forsake these things for the will of God. And dear believer, you may look upon others who are rich and have wealth, but look at yourself. Maybe the will of God for you is that you need to forsake a love for money and a love for the things of this world. That's not God's plan or God's will for you. Those who are rich, there is a charge to them. There are responsibilities that they need to do regarding their wealth. We'll come to that. But for you and the love of money, is it taking you away from Christ? It can lead into temptations. The temptation to steal. The temptation to kill. Temptations to do many things, and we as the people of God are to pray daily against temptation. We think of Thomas Manton, who said, the devil hath them upon the hip and is ready to give them a fall. Speaking of those who are rich, the devil has them and is ready to give them a fall if they go after the love of money. We can think of Judas, who loved the bag, but Satan entered into him and he betrayed the Savior. We can think of the snares that the apostle mentions here, the snares of Satan, the snares that come upon those that love money. They're tempted, and then suddenly there's a snare, and they cannot escape. O believer, we need to be careful. We need to be God-honoring in all that we do. Paul speaks of many foolish and hurtful lusts, lusts that hurt our souls. They destroy our peace. They destroy our fruit for God. There's a great warning here. Oh, let not money have the rule over you. Let Christ. And then finally, the love of money, it causes fatal destruction. Fatal destruction. The end of verse 9, which drown men in destruction and perdition. If Christ is forsaken for love of money and a love of this world, what happens? There's destruction. There's perdition. We can think of Ananias and his wife in Acts chapter 5. They said they were giving money to the church. They kept some back. And that sin, that temptation and desire to, as it were, of pride of giving to the church, it led them, they wanted a little back for themselves, so they said, we're giving all to the church. And they kept some back for themselves. They stole. Because they said they would give it all, they stole. And then what happened? They lied about it. And they lied to the Spirit of God. And they lost their lives. A great warning to the church that would have rocked the church and reminded them of the importance of these things. Not lying, not stealing, not loving money, being content with what you have. The love of money can keep men's eyes off Christ. John Flavel said that outward gains are ordinarily attended with inward losses. You can gain outwardly, but inwardly you can lose and lose out with God. We can think of Judas who was destroyed. We can think of that verse of Scripture, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Dear believer, unbeliever, if you gained the whole world, dear unbeliever, and lost your own soul, what profit is there? You might be the richest person in the world, but know not Christ. The love of money can guide you and dictate your every move in life. But what profit is there, because it's just for a window. Our lives are but for a moment. It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And we can be so obsessed with that little window and earning money and enjoying life that we forget that after that little window of life, there's eternity. And we will seek to enjoy ourselves so much in that little moment of time and forget that this little moment of time dictates where we spend eternity by what we do with Christ. Well, we enjoy ourselves and we enjoy the lusts of the flesh and we ignore the Savior. There will be an eternity of judgment. If we put Christ first, if we live for Him, if we serve Him, if we know His salvation, there will be an eternity with Christ in heaven. How marvelous. Do not let the love of money enter into your life and lead you to destruction. The love of money is the root of all evil. But what is the opposite to that? The love of money is the root of all evil, but the love of Christ is the root of all blessing. Let that govern our lives. Let that govern your heart. Love for Christ, glorifying God with what He has given you in life. And this is what you and I are to seek through the gospel. The love of Christ being the root of all blessing. Dear believer, pray for godly contentment. Pray for fleeing of temptations and lusts. As we come to the Lord's table, is it not a blessed time for us to come and consider what Christ has done for us? To consider His death. To consider that He left the splendor of heaven. That He humbled Himself. That He came into this world to die for our sin. That He saved us and redeemed us. So why would we have two masters? Or even one master that is not the Savior? Let us have Him as our Master, Him as our Savior. Let this time be a time when we re-examine our hearts. Are we motivated by the love of money, or are we motivated by the love of Christ, the root of all blessing? May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake. Amen.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon takes us today to 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Consider who we were and what we feel ourselves to be even now when corruption is powerful in us, and you will wonder at our adoption. Yet we are called the sons of God. What a high relationship is that of a son, and what privileges it brings. What care and tenderness the son expects from his father, and what love the father feels towards the son. But all that, and more than that, we now have through Christ. As for the temporary drawback of suffering with the elder brother, this we accept as an honour.
Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are content to be unknown with him in his humiliation, for we are to be exalted with him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And that is easy to read, but it is not so easy to feel. How is it with your heart this morning? Are you in the lowest depths of sorrow? Does corruption rise within your spirit, and grace seem like a poor spark trampled underfoot? Does your faith almost fail you? Fear not, it is neither your graces nor feelings on which you are to live. You must live simply by faith on Christ. With all these things against us, now, in the very depths of our sorrow, wherever we may be, now, as much in the valley as on the mountain, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Ah, but you say, see how I am arrayed. My graces are not bright. My righteousness does not shine with apparent glory. But read the next. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. The Holy Spirit shall purify our minds, and divine power shall refine our bodies. Then we shall see him as he is. We trust that our program today has been a blessing to your heart. Do you know the Savior, the one of whom Spurgeon here is speaking? Can you say, yes, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to save me to the uttermost, to redeem my soul from hell, because he is my Savior? Can you agree with John as he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God? We thank you for listening to our program today. Do join us tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station as we come and consider the Word of God together.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith.
Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.